We're going on with our series on that we started last week on being awake. Awake unto what God is doing in this hour. And in the book of Matthew, it says he would give us the keys to the kingdom. He would give us. And in this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. So Jesus, you know, back then there were no, television, you know this, right? No TV, no radio. I mean, Jesus was really the only show in town. I mean, really. He was. I mean, can you imagine what it must have been like to have Jesus come and he gathers people to hills and mountaintops and he begins to tell stories. They're called parables. Parables of the kingdom. And, a parable is an illustration. He gives us illustrations of what the kingdom is going to be like. What the kingdom is like. Not going to be. What it is like. And that's how they spoke in those days. So Jesus tells them the parable, illustrations, and their keys to the spiritual life. That's what he's giving us. He's giving us the keys to the spiritual life. I brought my keys this morning. Here they are. I found them. the keys to the spiritual life. And I'm not talking about the keys to the religious life. Because he came to break out people out of religion. And he took them out to places outside of the temple. Outside of the places that they associated with religion. And he spoke to them on hillsides. He spoke to the regular people in the marketplace. He just spoke to them. And he gathered them. They were all excited about what he was telling them. And he wasn't talking about religion. He wasn't talking about rules. Because in religion, there's only rules. No revelation. No understanding. There's only rules. My mother said to me once, I know why you can't do this particular religion she was involved in, okay? It was our family religion. She says, you can't keep the rules. And I said, you're right. I've never been able to keep the rules. But he's made a way where there is no way. He has broken us out of that bondage of the religious structure that we have all been in. And he gives us keys to the religious life. And it's way beyond religion. It's way above religion. So he says he wants to wake them out of, really, the religious stupor that they're in. That, we're in this kind of like we get in this fog, religious fog, and we think it's about keeping the rules and performance and doing what's right. See, rules without relationship are religion. And he's talking about relationship in Matthew 25. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about relationship. He says in Matthew 25, verse 1, he says, the kingdom of heaven shall be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. What are we talking about here? We're talking about a wedding. I mean, in this culture, it was one of the most celebrated events. I mean, we're talking about a party. We're talking about joy unspeakable. We're talking about something that is so much fun. I'm talking about a dance party. I'm talking about wine, and this is what he says. This is not religion, folks. This is relationship. And when we're talking about what? Brides, grooms, and brides, we're talking about intimacy. A level of intimacy that you can never get in religion. Because religion only has roles, not relationship. We're talking about love. See, when we're talking about brides and bridegrooms, we're talking about love, aren't we? Or it's just no wedding. it's just a ceremony. Without love, it's just a ceremony. And he's talking about virgins. It says they took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. Five were wise, and I'm going to be kind and say five were clueless. That's not what the definition that's in the Greek is. But I'm going to say clueless. You know, how many know that I have five lovely daughters? How many know that? Have I told you that before? No, I have five daughters. They're beautiful, more beautiful, most beautiful, the beautifulest, and the beautiful, most beautiful of all. Some of them are here this morning. And no one knows which one is the most beautiful. But you know, every once in a while, we'll have a guy come around. You know, every once in a while. There was a time I had to have two couches in my living room for the number of guys that were coming over, okay? I mean, we got two couches, faced them side by side. And you know, I wanted to talk to him a little bit. You know, I mean, it's a hard thing to really do what you're supposed to do, isn't it? I mean, really, it is. It's a hard thing in this culture, really, to do what you're supposed to do. And, you know, they'd pull in, generally in a nice car or truck. I remember my first daughter who got married, her husband, wonderful guy, pulled in a four-wheel drive, you know, brand-new Ranger, black Ranger pickup. Whew. I mean, he loved that thing, you know. And they'd come in, they'd sit down, and I'd say, I want to ask you a question. Now, if I asked you to give me the keys to your truck and just take it out for a spin around the block, and you don't even know me, would you say yes? And he said, well, no. I said, so you're asking me if you could take my daughter, and I don't even know you, around the block. Should I let you do that? Well, I'll tell you what. The guys who knew what I was talking about, all right? The guys who knew I was talking about value. The guys who knew I was talking about preciousness. The guys who knew I was talking about it, got it right away. So the next question is, you know, are you a moral person? Yes. What do you base it on? You know, could I see your driver's license? You know, I mean, how do you get along with your mom and dad? You know, I mean, these are the questions, you know. And the guys that were clueless were offended. See, the guys that were clueless went away and told everybody how mean I was. I mean, I have a reputation. And you know I'm not mean, okay? I just value. These girls are precious. And that's you. That's how you are. I mean, we're talking about relationship. We're talking about intimacy. We're talking about love. I tell them, I want to tell you something. Don't ever tell my daughter you love her. What? I said, because love to you means so much different than what it means to her. And that's true about young guys, I'm telling you. They're clueless. I mean, Doug's been through this. I mean, we talk about it. He has how many lovely daughters?
Three.
Three lovely daughters? It seems like you have five. It always seems like you have so many more children than you really have. Oh, but these guys, they become clueless. It says five were wise and five were foolish. How about when I tell them they have to go out with one of their sisters? Ooh. I mean, this is ancient stuff, you know. I mean, this is old school. But, you know, in the Christian community, we need to find a way to do this thing. You know, I'm still talking about dating. Anyway, five were five. wise and five were foolish or clueless. Clueless. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. There was no understanding of personal responsibility in relationship. See, I mean, that's what the culture has done. There's no understanding of personal responsibility in relationship. That's what we need to train. I mean, every action has a reaction. There's consequences. There's consequences in relationship. There's consequences to telling someone you love them. There's consequences of this kind of thing. I mean, it's a responsibility. And we as Christians need to be wise in our understanding in this hour. We need to awake. That's what we're talking about. Awake to intimacy, the availability of the intimacy we can have with Christ in this hour. We need to awake unto righteousness. It says, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They knew how to stay full. There was no oil shortage. There is no oil shortage, I'm telling you. But it's costly. This oil is costly. I mean, you made a decision this morning to come here and engage with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to dance for His glory, to worship Him. You want to stay full of this revelation of His love and the cross and how He died for you. You want to stay full. Whew, I love that word, full. Full to overflowing. Full of His love. So when you get bumped, you know, I mean, it just slops over, you know, the love, the all of it, you know. I mean, it just that's what we need in this hour. People with a revelation of intimacy with the Lord, of staying full of how much He loves you, of the love of the Father. You know, Jesus didn't just call him Father. He called him Abba, and that was beyond Father. That was the level of connectivity and intimacy that was in this hour of religion. What was mind-boggling. But He was out to break people out of the fog, the sleep that they were in. See, religion is a dream. And when you're dreaming, you think you're okay. You think it's real, but it's not. It's a false reality. Religion is a false reality with only rules. How many people do you know are trapped in religion? We need to break out. Wake up. Glory to God. Freedom into the freedom of glorious liberty of Christ Jesus. Oh my goodness. It is so incredible. I mean, it's a party, folks. It's a wedding. It's a feast. I mean, they look forward to this. They prepared. We're getting into that. It says the wise took oil with their lamps, but while the bridegroom was delayed, there's a purpose to delay. None of us like to wait, but there's a purpose to delay. The purpose of delay is preparation. Preparation. See, we're preparing. We're preparing our hearts. Don't waste time, young people. Don't waste time. It's a time of, we're in this hour of preparation. I'm telling you, I know that Jesus delays His coming. And that's what He's talking about. He's talking about the end of the age. And the disciples are asking Him, what is it going to look like? What is it going to look like? And, you know, I'm not a doomsday preacher. I'm telling you, we're going to a wedding. This is exciting. We're entering in. We're not appointed to wrath, folks. He loves us. He's overshadowing us with His love. I mean, if there's anything I felt in the last 2 weeks, it's His overshadowing love. I mean, sometimes I have to look over my shoulder and say, is that you, Jesus? Because He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall what? shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall live in the shadow of the Almighty. He's got you covered. He's got your back. He does. He really does. He's got your back. And to feel him at your back, to feel him at your back. Some of you, I mean, probably couldn't get out the door without him. I mean, because that's what he is. He's, you know what prophecy is? How many know what prophecy is? Okay, here it is. Simple. It's a push in the right direction. Put it right at that. I mean, that's a simple New Testament. It's a push in the right direction. And I'm here this morning to push you in. I'm a Jesus pusher, okay? I'm a Jesus. I push Jesus. And I love it because it works. It really works. This is going to work forever, for eternity. This is no quick fix. This is forever. This is forever. So he says the bridegroom was delayed. Delay is for preparation. And they all slumbered and slept. And we're all sort of, we all need to be woken up to the reality of intimacy with the Lord, of his love for us. Because we get into this dream world, even the American dream. Whew. How many are need to wake out of the reality that maybe the American dream, and I'm telling you, I'm living it, you know, got a house, two cars, the kids and everything. All right, but that could come to an end. And what are you going to do then? We can dance for his glory. Woo! That's when we're going to need to dance. That's when we're going to need the joy of our salvation. That's when we're going to need to awake to righteousness. That's when this country is going to need us the most. I mean, we have the answers. We're filled with the oil of gladness. We're filled. I mean, we need to wake up. We need to wake up to righteousness. Wake up to what we have. And at midnight, a cry was heard. At the darkest hour, at the most hopeless point. How many have heard that cry? How many have heard that cry? I love you, I love you, I love you. See, the cry is his love crying out of your heart. Out of a deposit of a revelation of his love. He loves me. He loves me in all my circumstances. He loves me in all my situations. He loves me when things haven't turned out like I thought. I mean, we're many of us are in that same place. I mean, we have our we all look wonderful this morning, you know, but I don't know what's going on in your life, what you're facing next week even. But I'm telling you, if we're filled with the revelation of his love at the darkest hour, at the darkest hour, he'll be there. He is there. He said, I will never leave you and forsake you. And the cry is, the bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. Hope is arising. Hope is arising. Hope is arising in your heart. I don't live by the American standard. I live by the kingdom standard of his value and his preciousness. While you were yet sinners, he died for you. And he hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't changed his mind about you. I'm telling you. I don't care what's happening. What's happening? We all are going through things. We all have things that are coming up this week, you know, that we need today. We need to hear this message today. We need to wake up to the reality of his love. Wake up. Where else are you going to hear this? Are you going to hear this on CNN? And they have some valid, good news coverage, you know, or Fox or any of them. They're great. They do a great job of covering stuff. But you're not going to hear this message there because they're putting all their hope in man, in the systems of man. And we live by another kingdom. His kingdom come. His will be done. We live by another standard. And it's not a gold standard. It's a kingdom standard. We have another provider, and he will make provision for his people. And I'm not talking about being lazy or clueless. I'm talking to be awakened to the promises of the kingdom. Awaken to his love. It says, and all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. In one of the commentaries I read, they said this was no little lamp. It was a torch. They says this was no small lamp. And I know there's pictures of it all the time, a little lamp, you know. They said, this is a blazing torch. I'm carrying a torch for Jesus. You ever hear of carrying a torch for somebody? Whew. I wonder if that's where they got the statement. You know, I couldn't battle, you know, I Googled it, but it didn't come up that way. But anyway, I mean, I'm carrying a torch for Jesus. You know how you have one of those big straw things and you dip it in the oil? And they light it up. Whew. I'm burning for Jesus. I love to burn for Jesus. I'm telling you. I just love to burn for Jesus. I just love to sit and burn for Jesus. I just feel like a torch. We're just tending the fire within. We're tending the fire within. When we get in the secret place, in the place of his presence, I mean, I feel that the glow, the warmth of his love. Oh, I mean, it transforms you. See, you're transformed from glorious encounter to glorious encounter. When we take time, I mean, this, we're talking about relationship. We're talking about love. We're talking about brides and bridegrooms. They love to spend time together. And the cry is coming. The cry is coming. The king is coming. The king is coming. The bridegroom is coming. Do you hear that cry? I mean, we should be so excited. He's coming. He's coming to meet with him in the secret place. Oh, find the secret place. I'm telling you. Find that place. Tend to that fire within. It will transform your life. It will make you the most optimistic individual in your home, community, at your place of work, when you have the fire of love in your heart, when you know you're accepted in the beloved, not on the basis of your performance, but on the basis of what he's already done for you. He put a value on you. He put the value on you. Valuable and precious. I mean, how can I get young men to understand that? Especially when they're even not of the same faith, how valuable and precious they are, that Jesus died for them. He gave his life for them. This is not religion. This is relationship. See, they're thinking rules. I'm thinking relationship. And they need to awake. Many of them were sent to our home just to awake to that fact. It was not about my daughter at all. It was not about that at all. And I'm telling you, we sent many away thinking. See, we're trying to wake them up. Wake them up. But the wise, it says, the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. No revelation. See, when we're talking about light, we're talking about illumination, revelation, revelation. Are you getting this? Am I making sense? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Revelation. Thank you. Revelation of his love. A burning heart for Jesus. Burning heart for Jesus. Whew. And their lamps had gone out. Five were wise. Five were wise. Five were foolish. Their lamps, their revelation of this love. I mean, there's a whole culture out there trying to put out the fire of your love for God. There really is. I mean, there's a whole culture out there to try to hide your bushel under a bed. You know, there's another parable Jesus tells. There's a whole culture out there that's trying to kill the God inside of you. It's an antichrist, godless culture. And we need to be filled with the revelation of his love, filled with the power of his love, which Sandy's going to talk about, being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit is the revelator. He brings you a revelation of that love so that you can get excited about God, so that you're empowered to be that light upon a hill set upon a hill in your own community. But the wise answered said, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. Personal responsibility. I can push you in the right direction. I will push you in the right direction. I will get behind you and shove. But you have a personal responsibility to enter in. I can get you the door. But you have to cross the threshold. You have to step into the things of God. You know, somebody wrote me, on Facebook, we prayed for an open heaven. I said, then step in and live there. Live in the kingdom. Live in the kingdom of God. He said, this is what it's like. And while they were buying, the kingdom came. And those who were ready, people get ready for the trains are coming. How many remember that one? That's a good one, isn't it? People get ready. People get ready. Delay. Remember, what is delay there for? Preparation. He's given us time to prepare. People get ready. And they went in with him to the wedding, to the party, to the feast, and the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came and saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and says, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. No, the, you know, Hebrew or a Greek word for intimacy, to know in an intimate way, not just know about you, but know in a deep way, in an intimate way, in a loving way, in a very personal way, to know you. Watch. Therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. The word is very emphatic about telling us to watch and pray. Watch and pray. And it's a delight. I'm telling you, it is as much of a delight to wait on the Lord and watch for the Lord as it is really watching TV. I mean, I like watching TV, you know. I mean, how many like watching TV? Oh, don't raise your hands. No. I love watching TV, you know, Deadliest Catch. I've talked about all those shows. I mean, these things are great, aren't they? They're amazing. I live vicariously through these guys, you know, on this boat, you know, because I'd be seasick and crying like a baby one or the other, you know, but I can be on board, you know, and everything. I mean, I like TV, but I love watching for the Lord. I love to wait on the Lord. I love to feel the revelation of his love. I love to tend the fire within. And not just my calling. He says, blessed is the man who when he comes, finds watching. Whew. I guess that's a good segue for Sandy to tell us about fasting. But I'm just here to push you in the right direction. I'm just here to sound the trumpet. I'm here to sound the alarm. I'm here to just really push you in the right direction. You know, I'm a Jesus pusher. You know, I'm not a drug pusher. And there's plenty of them out there. I'm telling you, there's plenty of them out there. And medication will help you. I mean, it will help you. Sometimes it will help you to the point where you can hear the voice of God, you know? I mean... But you need to get into a place. And that's what the church is doing this next 21 days. We're trying to position ourselves, put ourselves in a posture to hear his voice, to get the keys to spiritual understanding, the keys. And once we get the thing started, not to run out of gas. Whew. I mean, it's an easy analogy. You know, I've seen many run out of gas along the way because they're tanks aren't filled with the revelation of this love. They're not. They've been drained. They've been drained with rules and regulation and performance. And I'm telling you, I'm here today to tell you, it's like a wedding. It's like a love affair. It is a love affair. No, it is a love affair, okay? So let's just pray for a minute, and then Sandy's going to come and share that. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful this morning for what you've done up to this point, and even this morning, Lord God. We thank you that we live in a kingdom, and it's not about knowing the rules, it's about knowing the ruler. And Lord, we look forward this morning to your ruling and reigning over us, Lord God, because you are a gentle king, a wonderful king. So we just, again this morning, we just fill ourselves with your love. We fill ourselves with your promises. We fill ourselves with your illustrations of your love and care for us. Lord, we thank you for the healing anointing that you've even poured out this morning on your people. And if there's anybody here this morning that this is the first time you got a revelation of relationship and not religion, that religion's been your culture, that religion's been your history, and you want to break out into relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I want you to pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. Lord Jesus, I love you. I give myself to you. Your authority, your reign, your power. I mean, whatever it is. Whatever prayer you want to pray, pray this morning. To surrender yourself and your will to his kingdom. Amen.